I have sworn to give the world improved and cheaper means of communication by electrical transmissions through space.
So we're now going to go into one of our secure repositories. Of these, we have around about 8 miles of shelves. So we're going to go through to one of the rooms where the Marconi archive is held.
Steve, one of the things I find most exciting about this is that it's mostly unknown.
Welcome to Louder Than Words, the podcast from the University of Essex. I'm Professor Jules Pretty.
And I'm journalist Martha Dixon. In this episode, we're revealing unknown stories of the man who brought us wireless communication, Guglielmo Marconi.
I should also have devoted considerable time and research to methods which would bring distant countries of the world into closer and more intimate touch with one another.
Historians at the University of Essex are delving deep into unknown archives to show a very British piece of history.
It's a piece of history that's growing daily as new voices are added thanks to a pioneering project led by the University of Essex.
It is absolutely exciting, and this could be groundbreaking work for the Marconi Collection. This could be groundbreaking for all archives. The Marconi Collection and the Essex Record Office could, you know, they could push this and redefine what it means to be an archive through these different methods.
I'm an ex-Marconi employee. I worked for the company for 24 years, and it's really great to be able to bring the Marconi history right up to date and to really get young people involved to understand the Marconi story.
Guglielmo Marconi is a man who changed history. Italian by birth, he came to Britain with his groundbreaking ideas on how to communicate without wires.
He set up a factory in Chelmsford in Essex that made equipment for a wide variety of uses. Equipment that started the BBC in its broadcasting story, and equipment that brought the world the wireless technology that exists today.
The whole thing with Marconi was that if the Italian Navy had taken him seriously, we would have never been involved. But because he felt he had to come to England to make his invention happen, that's why Britain is the home of wireless.
Historian Alan Pamphilon worked for the Marconi Company for over 2 decades. Now he helps tell the incredible story of how his employer changed the world.
When Marconi first came to Chelmsford in 1898 and set up his first factory in Chelmsford, the first wireless factory in the world. And from that factory, we started to really make things. He started to really realise the whole concept of wireless technology that we enjoy today.
Marconi conducted the first transatlantic wireless telegraph signal from the southwest coast of Britain. He's also credited with being the inventor of radio. His company went on to make many pioneering pieces for use in many different industries all around the world. Alan says there's a real need to tell that story.
What we really need to do is have people understand where the technology that they to take today as granted originally came from.
And that's where the University of Essex comes in. A hidden archive of tens of thousands of images of the full company history lies in the storerooms in Essex.
Hello, so my name is Lewis Smith. And I work at the University of Essex. I'm a doctoral student, and I explore why history matters and why we should care about certain aspects of history.
Lewis Smith is excited about the impact of this new project, and he's getting people involved from around the world.
The best thing about this Marconi collection is that it's mostly unknown. That's why I find it so exciting. The world hasn't seen these things. These images were collected by the Marconi Photographic Section, which I mean, many businesses have photographic sections that just take pictures. But these date from late 1800s all the way up to like the 1980s. And they're basically unknown. These are boxes of images that are of pretty much anything. And what's great, one of my roles was to go through and just explore what was in, what these were pictures of. And there were all sorts of stuff that I was coming across. Well, one that stands out in my head is there was an image of two huskies. By far my favourite image. But behind that is a collection about putting up a mast in Svalbard. Bitter, bitter, horrible conditions. But there's a very, very small little narrative there of this Marconi team going out in an icebreaker with two huskies. They go skiing there as well. It's just fantastic, the kind of the stories that you come across in an archive that just hasn't been that well explored.
The miles and miles of pieces in this photographic archive will be digitised and sent out across the world via engaging and interactive social media posts, as well as virtual tours. It's all about making these archives interactive. Then people from all over the world will take part in explaining this history through the photographs they may be connected with. It's called crowdsourcing. Their stories will be added to the archive. There's also a plan to make 3D versions of the images. It means recreating the pioneering machinery pictured on the photographs to really get people talking about this important history.
Because there isn't a lot of metadata towards these images, and because they're so intrinsically important to the lives of many people's families were built on the Marconi Company in some way, shape or form. Many people, especially in Essex, but certainly all throughout the world, have some kind of material connection to Marconi. So one of the ways forward, certainly that I saw, was that you could start getting those back in through the images. So if you can get people viewing these images in some way, shape or form, you can start getting people identifying parts of them. So you crowdsource that data back into the collection. So for example, there are plenty of images there of machines you and I have absolutely no concept of whatsoever, but there are technical experts out there that can recognize those. There are members of staff depicted in this collection that are people's grandparents. There are places and buildings that people have lived and worked in, and I think that's the value of photographs, is that they're so versatile that you can start bringing those perspectives back in.
Hello, I'm Martin Astell. I'm the manager of the Essex Record Office.
To start understanding this journey and what it means, we need to go where the miles and miles of photographs are kept.
And I'm standing outside the Essex Record Office building in Chelmsford. A building which was purpose-built to preserve and make the most of the historic collections of Essex. In here, we refer to this building as the storehouse of Essex history, and it holds records for the whole of the county, going back for the past 1,000 years. So let's go in and take a look, a bit of the building, and talk about some of the collections.
Martin Astell is particularly excited about this Marconi archive.
We're talking about the Marconi Photographic Archive, which is one of the most significant collections that we've got here. Marconi being such an important employer in Chelmsford in particular, but in other parts of Essex as well. And the Marconi Photographic Archive being an enormous collection, well over 150,000 images we believe we've got, mostly on glass plate negatives, but others on paper and film, So we're now going to go into one of our secure repositories. We have a number of these. We have around about 8 miles of shelves here in this building. So we're going to go through to one of the rooms where the Marconi archive is held. So here we are inside one of our repositories, full of books and records and acid-free boxes. And we're going to go right to the end of it where the Marconi collection starts. As I say, there are thousands and thousands and thousands of these images. So there are shelves and shelves and shelves. It's surprising even to me how many of these there are when you actually see them in situ. And it's a fascinating collection full of a great variety of images dating from the early days of the Marconi Company in the 1890s and going all the way through the 20th century into the 1980s when the company was broken up and changed.
Martin says these images are a fantastic tool for telling the history of wireless technology and Britain's past.
They set up the photographic unit quite early on in the 20th century and were very, very keen, it seems, on recording aspects of the company and different events and the people involved and the products. So it's an absolutely incredible resource, not only for telling the history of broadcasting and communications and navigation and wireless technology, but also the industrial heritage of Essex and other parts of the world.
Inside the secure safe rooms, a new process is taking place to digitize these important records. Here's the man leading that mission.
So I'm Richard Anderson. I'm the archive and collections lead here at the Essex Record Office, and I am currently in our digitization room, which is where we do all of our photographic work, and we're currently involved in a splendid project to photograph a very large number of images of the Marconi Company. So I'm standing here in front of four of the examples of photographs from the Marconi Company. There's a wonderful one here that shows a ship's transmitter, which was exhibited at the shipping exhibition in Olympia back in 1927, Olympia currently being down in London, currently being refurbished. And there's some splendid pictures as well of members of the Marconi staff. There's a wonderful one that we looked at that has an RAF man featuring his splendid moustache and the lovely Marconi equipment in his helmet, which caused us considerable amusement. There's a number of beautiful images of equipment that actually hasn't been seen for a very long time. These images have been in the archive for many decades, and there's plenty of potential to actually recreate some of these wonderful pieces of equipment in the future. So I'm now going over to the to have a look at some more images that we've got up in the archive box here. There's a number of different powerhouses across the country and indeed across Europe. This one is one in Rugby in Warwickshire. It has a beautiful image of the interior of it. This lovely sort of classical architecture of the buildings that they used to put these the Marconi equipment in these powerhouses. There's another one there of a transmitter with a splendid grille on the front, which is always looks rather older now than in fact it is. And we've got one here of the operating room at Radio House, showing Paris, Bern, Belgrade, Moscow and Vienna's operating table. So all of them were competing, I think, against each other in 1927 to see who was the most effective radio operator. And there's quite a lot of images as well of aeroplanes. They used quite a bit of Marconi equipment in a number of aircraft. There's a magnificent one here of the a hydroplane of the Chilean Air Force, which is fitted with Marconi equipment. It's actually in the it's a seaplane that's just in the process of taking off from the sea in a wonderfully dramatic angle. It's exactly the sort of thing that is of interest not just to engineers but to a great range of enthusiasts for the air, enthusiasts for the history of Essex, and enthusiasts for really what generated the modern world of communication. So there's a great range of interest here, and we're very much looking forward to really making it much more widely known.
Lewis Smith says that this archive is of great historical importance, and it's a thrilling University of Essex project.
So the history of Marconi is deeply embedded within every aspect of what we do technologically today. There were there were very few competitors. There were a couple, but Marconi really did lead the way in wireless communications. So there's a clear industrial history here. But I think certainly this collection reveals that there's so much more than just industrial history. I mean, you've got histories of machinery, of course. There are plenty of pictures of different machineries in there. But there's also other histories, like there's a history of empire within that. You can see how these machines are going throughout the British Empire. You can see them decline after as time goes on and as Britain becomes more challenged. You can see, one of the things I find most interesting is you can see architecture evolve. You can see how London evolves with this new radio infrastructure. There are different social histories as well. Again, one thing that I think is missed out a lot of the time is the roles of women in industry.
One of the people who's excited to be a part of this new way of telling history is former Marconi employee Alan Pamphilon.
He says the Marconi company was a pretty fascinating place to work.
I mean, I joined it in 1984. You never quite knew what you were going to be involved in next. It was one of these projects where, because I was involved in essential services, you'd suddenly get someone come to you and say, I want to do this. How can we make it happen? But what you didn't realise is that there were people sitting at desks and they were inventing really, really front edge technology, innovation at the very best. And one of the things that I saw evolve during my time there was the thermal imaging camera. The camera that they take, the fire service take into a smoke-filled room and find a person and bring them out alive. And to me, that is absolutely incredible. They were making parts for body scanners. They were involved in cancer treatment. They were making devices that could be used as quarterizing probes for cancer. They were then, the same technology was then used for broadcast tubes for digital television and digital radio. They were making things that were going into gas sensors to make for coal mine gas detection. And to be involved in that history is just amazing. I mean, I used to do guided tours for new employees on a Monday morning, and every, you know, I was going round and telling them these stories, and you could see their eyes going wider and wider and wider, especially when you're talking about space exploration and you're talking about the likes of the Philae lander and the Comet Chaser and things like that, and the solar probes. I mean, all of that, it all seems like science fiction, but to them, people in Waterhouse Lane, it's a reality.
Alan still does guided tours, but today it's for people who want to know the history of the company. He says he's really pleased there's a new shift to get the story of Marconi and the things that were made in Essex out to the world.
Having the University of Essex involved really then sort of makes the whole thing, brings in the young people, makes it focuses the whole message on how the Marconi company evolved, what they achieved, and also what the people that work there were able to do. If we don't do it, it just stays in the history books and you read about it and that's the end of the story. It has to be told, it has to be retold in order to keep it alive.
This is Louder Than Words, the podcast from the University of Essex. This episode was all about unearthing and telling untold stories of the inventor, Guglielmo Marconi.
Thank you for listening. You can find all our podcasts, as well as more information about the contributors and subjects, at the Centre for Policy and Public Engagement website at the University of Essex.